You're listening to Mom and Doc Talk, where we talk all things healing pans and pandas with an emphasis on homeopathy. Hi, everybody, and welcome back to Mom and Doc Talk. We are here with another Just Dr. Barr and Jody episode to talk about homeopathy. And today we're talking about homeopathy and mold. We've got a couple of episodes on mold. We'll put links to them in the show notes. I don't remember which ones they are that are about mold in general, where we're talking about both, testing and different things that you could come up to identify and recognize mold illness. And then like two fantastic episodes that are about mold remediation. And then one where we talk about mold as it relates to like other complex chronic illness with Dr. Neil Nathan too. So those are all from season one. Again, we'll put links to all of those four episodes in our show notes. But today we wanted to talk about homeopathy and mold specifically. So we touched on it in all of those episodes. Let's just talk about like the impacts of homeopathy has in helping with recovery from mold illness and reducing susceptibility to mold illness. I'm going to throw a curveball at you here, and I'm going to ask you to lead us off by sharing about your story, because mold has been a big part of your family.
Yeah, it was an unknowing partner in all of this silently in our home for quite some time. We all were sick, literally everyone in my family. My younger daughter born with mast cell disease, and then a couple years down the road, Avery kind of stumbled all the way into PANS, but also my husband and I were sick. I didn't know anything about mold at the time, but then we ended up finding out that we had a leak behind our washing machine that had been leaking for a very, very long time. And we had some really bad mold in our house. So that was, we went through the, I hate talking about mold remediation because there's a whole lot of different ways that it can be done. I don't feel like we did it the right way, but was still effective. There's just so many different ways that you can handle that. And everybody needs to handle it a little bit differently. But ultimately ended up moving out of that home and going into an RV and getting rid of some stuff, not everything. But it was such a drastic impact on all of our health, and especially my girls. They were so incredibly sick whenever we were in that moldy house. It's wild what mold did to all of us.
Mm-hmm. The thing that's interesting though, that I think is important to, that we say right off the bat, is that mold illness is not, it's like both this concept in homeopathy of dynamic and non-dynamic disease, right? So dynamic is something that is movable, changeable, and different in different people. Non-dynamic is when we've got one thing that is going to be the same in every single person, or that is something that we need to remove. And if we remove that, then it's the illness itself will go away, right? So So mold is one of those things that is both dynamic and non-dynamic. And the reason we know that it's both is that mold generally, like there's certain molds and certain amounts of mold that are like just not going to be healthy for anybody to live in, right? But the way that it's dynamic is that we have different reactions to them. And yeah. So it has to do with our susceptibility. So you had four people living in your home at the time, mm-hmm. and all four of you were doing poorly. You had some overlapping symptoms, but a whole lot that didn't overlap, right?
Yeah. Oh yeah. We had mast cell, we had PANS, we had POTS, we had mood dysregulation, we had respiratory issues. I was itching and having hives and my tongue was swelling all the time. Like each one of us was experiencing it completely different with a tiny bit of overlap in some of our symptoms.
Yeah. And even if there's like, even some of the stuff you were talking about, like have some mast cell activation related mm-hmm. symptoms, but even that it's going to be different in different people, right? So some yeah. people it's going to be respiratory, some people it's going to be skin, some people it's going to be digestive, some people it's going to be mood. So it's dynamic in that we don't all have, it's not like this amount of mold is, X amount of mold is going to cause these symptoms in everybody. That's mm-hmm. non-dynamic sort of circumstance. It's variable because as you're healing, and I'm sure we'll get there too, like your kiddos who have been healing for longer and doing better and are like, generally healed from their chronic stuff, they're not the ones that you can tell that there's mold around anymore. Like, I'm not very sensitive to mold. So I go to a conference and everybody around me is who's super sensitive is saying, "Oh my gosh, there's some mold in this hotel or mold in the rooms or whatever." I'm like, "What? I can't tell. I don't notice." My husband is very sensitive to it. And so if there's mold around, he's got skin stuff. And so there's varying degrees of sensitivity and different susceptibilities and different ways that we respond to it. So that's why homeopathy can be a vital component to helping heal from mold illness, because mold is something that exists in our environment. We cannot eliminate it. We can't outrun it. In fact, I just listened. It's so funny that we're talking about this today. Like literally 2 days ago, I finished listening to a book all about fungi and all of the ways that it has, mold is a fungi, all of the different ways that our lives have sort of evolved together and ways that we are dependent and that there are a lot of beneficial things to it to us and there are ways that it's disadvantageous to us, right? And a lot of the th ways that mold has become a big problem to us is because of chemicals we use that it's fighting against. So it's basically like mold is fighting us and we're fighting because we're fighting mold. And if we weren't using some of these chemicals, it wouldn't be quite as toxic to us. So anyway, I say this because we just need to remember that mold is something that is a natural part of our environment. We are never going to be able to completely eliminate it. And if we did try to completely eliminate, mold, yeast, other fungi, whatever, that we would run into some similar problems, I think, that we're having with bacteria, right? We've decided to like, we wanted a clean slate. We were using antibiotics for everything. And now we have all the issues with the ways that we've disrupted microbiomes and all of the different things that come in with that. And so I just want to be mindful that we could do the same thing with parasites. We could do the same things with yeast, mold, fungi, et cetera. So we can't get to a place that's completely mold-free. That's just not possible. We need to be able to feel our best and live and thrive within the normal fungal ecology. Right. And that's one of the things that Michael Schrantz talks about a lot in one of our episodes. So I think that's just a really important thing because there's going to be mold remediators that are going to tell you that there's a right way to do it. And there's not necessarily one right way to do it. And that any amount of mold is not okay, and that's just not realistic or achievable. And those are people who are probably going to get lots and lots of business from you coming back again and again and again, trying to make something that's not really possible happen. And then that's going to stoke a whole lot of fear. And then we have a lot of stuff that we need to deal with the stress response that we have, and the ways that that can also make us sick and more susceptible to mold illness. Right? It's this vicious cycle.
Yeah. And I think like skipping ahead a little bit too, I'm always talking about the end goal. Like at the end goal, what this looks like is our family having gone through two different mold exposures since I would consider Avery healed. And she did amazing through those mold exposures. My husband and I, not quite as much, just because we're not as far along in our healing journey. But I like watching her body not go back into full blown pans. Like to me, that is like blaring. That is susceptibility change. That's like literally me watching what it looks like. But I think what I want to spend a minute talking about is what it looks like in the meantime, because for us as moms, it's really hard. Like we find out we have mold and then we go into full on panic mode. And for some reason, it's hard to just settle into homeopathy and be okay with that because it's like, wait, I'm waiting, or my kids like got all of this mold in their body and I'm waiting a really long time. And it's so hard for us not to hop into doing detox and all of the other things that we feel like we absolutely have to do to get it out as quickly as possible. There's so much panic in that space. And I was panicking too, like the whole time. And you kept telling me it's okay. Like and with Avery, when we were in functional medicine, we were doing some things to try and push everything out of her body quickly. And her body was very angry about it. She was having very, very bad reactions. And so that made me feel even more panicked. And coming to homeopathy and you saying, listen, we can slowly detox her body at the speed it needs to detox at. In the beginning, it didn't make sense to me, but kind of walking that out and seeing her go through this really slow detox where, you know, the mold issue was being addressed the whole time. Mm-hmm. It was just being addressed at a speed that her body could handle it.
Yeah.
And I believe now that that's the only way Avery could have made it through, because she was a sensitive kiddo.
Yeah.
But still, there's so much panic in that time and feelings.
Yeah, I mean, mold has gotten a lot of attention, and I think some ways it's good that it's being brought to our awareness about the challenge and problem that mold can bring to health. And I think some ways it's been overblown and it's creating panic. So it's not something to ignore, but it does not mean that your life is over either. So first and foremost, I will say that every person is unique, and you need to talk to your provider, your homeopath, and any other doctors that you've got that to figure out the best path for you. We're not saying that in no way should you ever use any additional things for mold recovery. And we're also saying that, you know, acknowledging that for some people it doesn't work or it's too much. And especially in PANS kids, it can be too much because they can be pretty intense protocols that are trying to make it happen faster. And I'm going to pause for a second because I feel like so much of my work as an evolving, maturing adult is to recognize how little control I have over most things in life. And most of my suffering comes from trying to control things that I really can't control. And that's one of those things that we're trying to control, that sometimes we make things worse when we're trying to control the way our body handles something that it's being presented with. And especially PANS kids. So it can be a lot when we try and force anything out of the body, whether it's heavy metals, mold, you know, anything like that. If we're trying to remove it from the places where it is sequestered, or trying to like force it to die, and so that we can remove it from our body, it can be hard on little bodies that, one, are still little, and two, that are just really sensitive to things. And some of the stuff that you would need to use for the detox protocols are hard to get kids to take too.
Yeah.
Especially for the length of time that they would need to be taken. So first and foremost, though, chat with your homeopath, chat with your other providers, anybody, to figure out what the best approach is for you. Now let's talk about how homeopathy works to help with detoxification and with the reducing the susceptibility and sensitivity overall. So again, as always, we're talking about the classical homeopathy approach. So we're not talking about, oh, I found this mold and here's this remedy for this mold. That's an allopathic approach or an isopathic approach. If you're giving the exact mold that you has been identified in a homeopathic, you know, quote unquote homeopathic dose, or what would more appropriately be called a potentized dose. Because homeopathy, again, is how we use it, not what it is or how much the volume of the dilution. So with classical homeopathy, what we're always going to be looking at is how the individual responds to the trigger, not the trigger itself. So knowing what the trigger is can be helpful in some ways to understand how to manage things moving forward, knowing what to expect, knowing if there's any obstacles that need to be addressed. But it's not going to change the remedy recommendation, because we're always going to look at what the person is experiencing because of the trigger. So like in your family, Jody, all four of you would have had a different remedy from the same exposure because you had very different presentations of how it was affecting your body. And so when we use a recommended homeopathy based off of your individual symptoms that are showing us your unique sensitivity and susceptibility, we're gently stimulating the body to heal. And when we heal as a whole person. That includes liver function. That includes elimination. That includes immune function. It includes neurofunction. It includes all things with neurotransmitters and hormones and all of that. It helps to nudge things gently to go back into balance, into their appropriate homeostasis. So if you're having impaired detoxification pathways, Homeopathy will nudge those pathways to work more effectively. It's not going to change your genetics. So if you've got some genes that make it so you have slower pathways, it's not going to change that, but it will make what you have work better. None of our pathways that we have these single nucleotide polymorphisms for, and there's another episode we can put a link to about single nucleotide polymorphisms and how homeopathy is related, that we'll put the link to that in the show notes as well, that we got backup pathways for things, right? So there's multiple ways to deal with the same problem in our bodies. It's like, we're not just, you know, one and done for a lot of these things. So we're not going to change the genetic variants that we have, but we can work better with what we do have to the point that it's probably not going to be super noticeable at some point in time. It'll take time to get there, but you won't necessarily notice that you're having these, especially if you're not putting things into your body that clog up those pathways.
Yeah.
So that was what you really were talking about earlier before, that you had a hard time wrapping your head around, right? With like the fact that homeopathy will nudge your body to do its own detoxification without having to force it with other stuff. Is that right?
Correct. And also, if you guys missed it, my poor detoxing MTHFR people, she was just talking to y'all a second ago. And I think this is where I was hung up, because I'm like, oh, my kid has MTHFR, so we have to do more. Like, we have to do, there's no way she's already a poor detoxer. I could tell I was having to do all of the support stuff. And so I just thought that we would have to do more because we were already struggling in the detox realm anyways. But we didn't end up having to do more. And this is what you were just saying a second ago, like the greatest lessons, I've learned some of the greatest lessons from homeopathy, and one of them being less is more. And then the other one is faster is not better. Slower has, like with everything, I feel like you say this all the time.
Slow is smooth and smooth is fast.
Yes. And I always get that wrong, but it's so, so true. Allowing homeopathy to give those gentle nudges, heal whatever it was that was messed up with Avery's methyl cycle. Doing that nice and smoothly was, it was so much kinder to her body.
Yeah.
And it was easier on her, and it involved less, I believe that it involved less big flare-ups, because yeah, we weren't making her body angry. It's just, it's so hard to wrap your body your mind around the fact that homeopathy can do that, but it can. And I've seen that happen in all four of us in different ways. And really kind of slowly address all of those symptoms that we had from the mold. And it's just so neat to see the other side of that, where we're being exposed to mold and it's nowhere like it was before. And we're always like, we bought a brand new house because we didn't want to be exposed to mold. And we've had two major mold exposures since being in this house. We'll never be away from it.
Never.
It's always going to be part of it, but all of our susceptibility is different now. And that's really cool, seeing the end of it.
Yeah. So I have my background, and before I became a naturopathic doctor, my undergrad is in physiology and neurobiology. And so I can still, like many people, get really hung up on mechanism of action. How? And the truth of the matter is, we don't know exactly how it works to get all of these things moving in the right direction. We'll do another episode going into more of like the explanation in general about how homeopathy works and primary and secondary actions. But when it comes down to the cellular level, the most we can see is that there are places that the nanoparticles that are found in some homeopathic preparations bind at the cellular level and lead to cellular adaptive change. We just don't know what happens beyond that and how exactly it's promoting appropriate detoxification and appropriate elimination and all of those different things, right? What I can tell you though is, because I'm such a person that, like, you know, homeopathy skeptic, I almost quit naturopathic school because of homeopathy being a required part of the curriculum. So I went through all of the stuff to learn all about the detoxification pathways and all the ways that we could come in and like have some force and like control what was happening and control outcomes and direct the way things were going to go instead of listening to the wisdom of the body. And I will tell you, I have never seen sicker people than people going through forceful detox. And
yeah,
It's hard. It's hard on the body. I had so many times that like I had to sit with somebody who I was, there on like a shift in my in, as a medical student, a naturopathic medical student, who was going through a detoxification protocol, and like they just looked wretched. They felt wretched, and I had to sit there and just hold that space for them. And I honestly, sometimes I didn't understand why they kept doing it. And especially once I saw how effective homeopathy was and how much more gentle it was, that people weren't suffering while they were trying to force these things out of their body. And that they were still healing. And maybe the numbers weren't moving quite as fast, but we saw labs change. We saw, with when you are dealing with mold detoxification, mold numbers on tests typically go up when you're first starting because you're getting more out. We see the same patterns that happen. So you typically see here's your starting mold level, and then as you're starting detoxification, the mold levels typically go up on testing because more is coming out. You're eliminating more, so you're improving the pathways, and then they start to come down. We see the same patterns happen with homeopathy that we see with other detoxification protocols. We're not necessarily tracking them as much, but people who are using homeopathy and like just out of curiosity, wanting to verify on their own, see these things happen. And so I had personally settled into, okay, this clearly is working. I don't understand exactly how it's working, but I also see that the people are suffering a whole lot less in the process. And especially when, because I had such a soft place in my heart for kids and I wanted to work primarily with kids, I was just like, I can't do this to little kids. Like, how is this possibly tolerable to these little bodies? And I was also concerned about like forcing high amounts of things into the bloodstream of these still developing brains that might have leaky brain too, and like the ways that it can affect people. I feel like we should shift just a little bit to talk about like the process of what healing looks like with homeopathy and mold, and a couple of questions that come up regularly. So one of the things that will be asked a lot is like, if you know you have mold, do you have to get rid of everything? Do you have to remediate everything, or can you still heal with homeopathy? The answer is a little bit murky. So yes, you do need to remediate. Like, homeopathy will not make it so that it is okay to just leave black mold all over the walls in your house. Like, if there is mold in your house, you need to remediate. Homeopathy will still help you heal, but it will only get you so far. At some point, if there is mold in your house, healing will stall out, and the best that you can expect is a plateau that is maintained that you never seem to move beyond. And so homeopathy cannot replace remediation. Remediation is an important part of removing that obstacle. That's that non-dynamic part. So if you are living in mold, you'll probably see when you first get started some bigger jumps, and then it will eventually slow down and slow down and slow down, and then it will stall out. And then once you get the mold remediation done, then the heal you'll see bigger leaps and progress in healing once again, because the body is not trying to bail out water while there's still a hole in the boat, right? So we reach a point where we're at that like homeostasis where we're bailing out as much as is coming in. And that's where we sort of see the plateau. And then once we've repaired that, then we can start bailing out more, and it makes more of a difference for us. Was that, well, did you have any of that experience? Or we caught the mold pretty quickly, and you'd already had enough healing that most of you, it was like a blip on the radar.
Yeah, it was like everything happened right around the same time.
So yes, you can still heal to an extent while living in mold. You're not going to completely recover while living in mold. That's the main thing that we really need to get across. Like, the healing patterns might look a little bit different again until you get the mold remediated, and so you might see that plateau. The goal ultimately is that you can have exposures to normal fungal ecology and not get sick, not get reactive to it, all right? Or have it come and go relatively quickly without needing to do anything, because your detoxification pathways are improved, they're open, and they're functioning the way that they should to take care of that for you. And then also having reduced susceptibility and like, immune reactivity to the mold. And we see that happen, just like we see with kids can get strep and not have a flare of PANDAS, even if it was one of their main triggers. We can see kids get exposed to mold, maybe they feel a little foggy brained or have a little bit of a sniffle, and then they're fine. And it, once they're no longer having that exposure, or like the way that they respond to it could change. You know, they're not going to have a PANS flare, but they might just have like, you know, a more typical, like I said, maybe foggy brain, maybe a little sniffle. So we can see that the susceptibility and reactivity to it reduces. The body's more able to detoxify any of the issues that come on from mold on its own without needing a whole lot of other things. And then, yeah, having a more typical, like not just like neuro flare type of response, if you do have a big exposure.
I think I have a good example of this. I was just thinking about this and it applies right now. Avery, her sixth grade year, was having some really significant coughing spells. And I finally figured out they were happening in a specific room that she's in during the day during school. Well, G is now in sixth grade. And she tells me a couple weeks ago, Mom, every time I go to this one classroom, this is my mast cell kiddo, who doesn't have a whole lot of mast cell stuff left anymore. She says, my ears and my cheeks get really red, but it's only when I'm in this classroom. It's a classroom that connects to a bathroom. I'm pretty sure it's moldy, but it's just so wild to me. Like her mast cell symptoms were so bad. Like, had she been in this classroom 3 years ago, she would be in full on respiratory rash, itching, like all of this stuff. And I'm pretty sure there's mold in the classroom still. But all she has is a little bit of red ears, red cheeks. Like her susceptibility is so completely different than what it used to be.
And so, and she's, once she's out of that room, is she feeling better, or does it stick with her through the day?
It takes her about 20 minutes or so after she leaves the room, and she's totally fine.
And that might never change. She might still, like, she, that might be her sign that she has, that she's been exposed to mold, but it's her body is able to process it. So like with homeopathy, we're not looking for perfection. We're not looking to turn ourselves into like, you know, the word is escaping me, but like basically superheroes that nothing is, can affect them. We're looking for resilience, which is, you know, why I call my practice resilience naturopathic. But we're looking for resilience, that we can have things that are normal parts of life that will affect our health, that will affect our emotions, that will affect our well-being, that are blips that might make us feel a little bit off for a little while, but we can bounce back from without needing anything else other than time or a shift in circumstance, that we can recover from on our own without even needing a homeopathic remedy. That's our goal. So it is something that can be done with, even with mold. But yeah, you can't just stay living in a moldy house. You do gotta address the mold, because that's, again, the non-dynamic part. Homeopathy can address the dynamic part of mold illness. Anything else you think parents need to hear about healing with from mold with homeopathy?
I think I'll say this just because I talk to moms about this on a pretty regular basis, and I also see it come up in the group. Is the different styles of homeopathy, classical versus giving a homeopathic remedy to specifically detox mold. And I think we have some, we have some confusion around that. And I think classical homeopathy, the whole way, is going to ask the body why it's detoxing poorly, why it's going to stay focused on the root problem, and it's going to keep working on that the whole time. Whenever we do another approach, a different style of homeopathy specifically to detox the body, just focusing on getting the mold out of the body, that's all we're doing. We're assisting the body, still using homeopathy, but we're assisting the body to actually do the detox, but that's not actually addressing the reason why the body's not detoxing properly. I'm going to stop and let you like make that make sense.
And that's what I was trying to talk about earlier when I talked about needing to find your specific, the remedy that is most indicated for you based off of your specific symptoms and your reaction to it. So if we're just focusing on the trigger, We might see some palliative relief, but we're not going to address it for like the next time we have exposure to that thing. And you're going to have more exposures because, again, if you live with water and we all have water in our houses, you're going to have mold around, right? Like it's in the air, literally. We're breathing in mold every day. And so if we're just focusing on the trigger, maybe, I don't even know. Like if some people say it's effective, it's not something I use. I can't say for sure. So I'm sure that it must have some level of efficacy or people wouldn't use it. So you can address that specific mold, but you're not addressing that sensitivity to the mold and your unique way of reacting to it. So much like if you take antibiotics every time you get strep to try and treat pandas, every single time you get pandas, you're going to need to take antibiotics and they're going to be less and less effective over time and they'll eventually stop working. The same thing is going to be true if you're not addressing that unique individual susceptibility to the specific reaction to mold. And that's where classical homeopathy comes in, because it's looking at the totality of what happens to a person and not like this one thing. You know, we can try and make homeopathy that is a completely different way of looking at the body, health, and healing. We can try and take it and adapt it into the allopathic way of thinking, the conventional way of thinking. And that's kind of what we're doing with some of those like protocol-based things. If you're going to, you can't take homeopathy and apply it in an allopathic way and expect it to have the same results that you would get when applied homeopathically. Like we have to use the tool the way it's meant to be used to get the outcomes that we're looking for. That said, if people just want to use protocol things, like just realize you're probably going to have to use them again and again and again, and it's probably going to come back. I can't say for sure, but I've seen enough people where that has happened in our practice that I have some level of confidence that until you address the unique, specific individual susceptibility and reaction to these things, it's probably going to come back again and again. Anything else people need to hear about healing with homeopathy and mold? Other than like, I think just focusing on the end, it is possible. Like you said, you know, yeah. your daughter's like, you are the person in your family, if I'm not speaking incorrectly or putting you on blast here.
No.
You're the person that can tell if there's mold now. It used to be that you'd walk into a building and you knew there was mold, not because you could smell it or you felt anything from it, but because the way that your kids started acting or symptoms that were coming up. And now you can be in a moldy place and they're fine and it's you that's feeling off. And mm-hmm. you're like, oh, that's why.
Yeah. And I think that's actually getting better. I tested that out a couple weekends ago and I think I'm finally getting to the point where that's a little bit better, but yeah, it's me that feels it and me that, like, you know, we're in Texas, whenever those mold, we get a lot of rain and the mold levels go up, I'm usually the one that's feeling it the most. So it's really awesome not having them have all of the issues that they used to have because of it. And it makes the time that we spent healing so incredibly worth it, but not to have to deal with that stuff. And also not to, like, I'll always be conscious of mold and I'll always do my, you know, monthly little checks that I do, but it's not something that like rules my mind. I used to obsess mm-hmm. about it all the time. And that's a nasty feeling. And it also made my husband crazy. And he's like, you are never going to stop obsessing over mold. And I like, couldn't, I was convinced it was always there. Yeah. And it probably is here to a small extent, but also I'm at peace with it because my children's bodies are at peace now and they can handle when it does pop up. And it's just, it all works the way it's supposed to now.
There's a lot to be said about the healing power of just trusting the body to handle it.
Yeah.
And not living in constant fear of the thing coming up that you're then trying to control. And that causes a lot of stress and it makes things a lot harder. A lot of us get sick just because we're so stressed about the things that might make us sick. And if we weren't so stressed about the things making us sick, we might not get sick in the first place.
There's literally like, I could give you 4 million examples of how homeopathy equaled freedom in our world. And this is a big one. It's not just my children's freedom from the reaction. It's my own freedom from the anxiety and stress and like freaking out about mold constantly.
Yeah. And on that note, I think we're going to wrap for today. Take care, everybody. We'll talk to you again soon.
Bye, guys.
We hope you found this episode helpful, hopeful, and inspiring. We try to get a new episode out every week. You can make sure you don't miss any by following us on Spotify or subscribing to our channel on YouTube. If you want to connect with us more, join our Facebook group, Homeopathy for Pans and Pandas, where we have exclusive weekly videos and answer your questions about, you guessed it, homeopathy for pans and pandas throughout the week. If you are already a member, give us a shout out and let us know what you thought about this episode. If you aren't on Facebook and would like to reach us, you can email us at podcast@resiliencenaturopathic.com. Until next time, take care and remember, this won't be forever.